Looking for the perfect gift this holiday season? A board game subscription box from our friends at Unbox Boredom is your answer. And as a special promotion for listeners of this podcast, use the coupon code MARRIED at checkout for $10 off any new subscription. Sign up today at unboxboredom.com. That's unbox, B-O-A-R-D-O-M.com.
Hello in there. Grant, you'll be sent me.
Board game.
Today, I almost wish there weren't a holiday season. I know nobody likes me. Why do we have to have a holiday season to emphasize it? Thanks for the
board game.
Sent me, Violet. I didn't send you
board game.
Charlie Brown. Don't you know sarcasm when you hear it?
Aw, doesn't Charlie Brown sound so sad? Nobody got him a board game for Christmas.
And the people on your list this year are going to be just as sad as Charlie Brown if you don't get them a board game too.
So listen up, we've got some suggestions for you to give this year from our 2017 Holiday Gift Guide.
Hello, everyone. I'm Spencer.
I'm Laura.
And you are listening to the one and only Married with Board Games podcast, episode 30.
30!
Welcome to this. What's the term for 30?
I don't know.
20 is like, never mind. Like
you don't know what 20 is either. Oh, yeah,
dodecahedron or something.
Dodecahedron.
Well, 100 is century, so what would 30 be? I don't know. Tricentury.
Why don't I look it up?
Okay.
While I'm doing that, you go ahead.
Okay, so while she's looking that up for this completely irrelevant information, we want to talk about an awesome show that we've got lined up for you today. We're starting to get into that holiday season. And so we want to go over some ideas that we have for you to give to other people that may or may not already be gamers. So we've broken it down by category, and we've got some suggestions for you to try out. So we're going to be doing that a little bit later on in the show, but first we're going to go over a couple of reviews that we have that we want to share with you. Then we've got a delicious game night grub recipe from Laura, and finally, the latest installment of board game trailers. We're excited for that.
So what I'm looking up, it skips from 25 to 40.
What? So there's no 30.
There's no 30. We're just going to call it Married with Board Games. That's awesome.
Episode 30.
I like it.
Holiday Gift Guide 2017.
There you go.
Okay, enough chit chat. Let's get into our game review, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right, what do you want to talk about first?
Well, first off, I want to talk about a game that is it's brand new right now.
Brand new.
At Walmart.
I've got some exciting news. As of this recording, you should be able to go online to walmart.com and order this game now.
Yes, and this game is called Fog of Love. This is from Hush Hush Projects.
Shh.
They kept it a secret. And we got to do a review about it, and it was one of our longest reviews, maybe, simply from our discussion of it, not even going over like components and an overview of how to play. It is simply that it just needs a lot of, there was a lot to talk about.
Yeah. And we won't talk about it for 30 minutes on the podcast.
Oh, but
a condensed version.
It's just so cool. So it shows on the box, it says a romantic comedy as a board game.
Yeah.
And I wholeheartedly agree with that description.
Well, the way that it's broken down, so the idea is you're playing through chapters. So you choose a story and the game comes with, it comes with a tutorial and then three different stories you can play through. Which, first of all, that tutorial.
The tutorial is so awesome. That it works, and it's cards, because you play with cards.
Yeah, well,
you have decks of cards, you've got cards that tell you, like, aspects of your character, your occupation, different things like that. Mm-hmm. And as you go through that deck, then all of a sudden a card will pop up and be like, all right, so you should now be at the blah, blah, blah stage of the game.
Here's a new,
concept.
Well, what I love about it is you don't need to pre-read the rule book at all to prepare for this game.
Right.
You
simply just go step by step on those cards.
You simply just look at the rule book for the initial setup and then you go and play through that tutorial. It teaches you the game, but instead of,
you learn as you play it.
Yes.
Basically, the way that they've laid it out. And
but you're playing.
It's a great idea and so helpful because it's hard when you've got your nose buried in a book And if you're one of those kinds of learners, like a spatial reasoning mm-hmm. learner, that you need to move the pieces around on the board and watch how that works and get like physically the order instead of just reading it.
Yeah.
This, I mean, it nails it down pat, and they did an awesome job with that. That's your favorite part of the game?
Well, no, it's not my favorite.
But I was going to say my favorite thing is in the rule book, mm-hmm. there's a nice letter written by the designer mm-hmm. and explaining how he made this game for his wife.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's an avid board gamer, and she will play with him, but it's not her favorite thing to do because a lot of the games that he likes to play are kind of like battling and even like area control and stuff like that. She's a very romantic person is the way that he describes her. And they're just not romance board games out there. I mean, love letter.
No, it's not romance.
I don't know about that one. Council of Verona. No. So this was his solution to that was he really did make a romantic comedy as a board game.
Yeah.
So that she is, that's one of her favorite things to do, apparently, is like sit down and watch a romantic comedy. Now they get to do that on the board, like because you role play your character, and
that's very important in this game. So like the structure, like we were talking about, is so it's like there are chapters and then a finale. So that's really cool that like you, and there each chapter is made up of scenes.
There's a set amount of scenes on that chapter card.
Yeah, so it's set up like a movie. You go through the chapters, you've got scenes, and you've got this finale.
And the players are selecting the scenes.
Yes.
From their hand.
Yeah.
You have a handful of different cards that are scenes.
Mm-hmm. And so as you said, you're playing as characters, not as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's important to note that you really do. You enjoyed this game tenfold if you role play with it.
Yes.
And that's not to say you can't break character or whatever, but when it comes to, especially when the cards prompt you to, you really do need to be able to get into the mind of this character that you've created.
Right.
And basically what you're doing is your character has specific traits, and these questions that come up are these scenes. You have to answer them based on how your character would, based on their characteristics.
Right. So I'm not going to say when you're role playing this, you're going to the extent of an RPG.
Mm-hmm.
With your role playing, because that is a whole nother beast. You have three cards in
yes.
that little stand
mm-hmm.
in front of you that are telling you your characteristic goals
mm-hmm.
for the end of the game, and that is what's dictating how you answer those questions. But not only that, but things with your partner as well.
Yeah.
Because there's another your destiny cards
mm-hmm.
that you select at the end of the game. They are also influenced by your partner's characteristic levels, satisfaction, different things like that, that you need theirs to be high as well. So you need to bump theirs up too.
You want them to be happy, and you also want to be happy.
So you'll do something to make them happy. You'll sacrifice, much like in a relationship.
Well, and that's the tricky thing too, is like, I feel bad sometimes with the answers that I give for these questions, because me personally, that just doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. But if you're playing the game, you've got to,
that's what your character would
do. And so I was like, I'm so sorry, I wish I didn't have to do that.
You're like a happy-go-lucky guy, and for some reason lately you've been getting like these curmudgeon kind of dudes
yes.
that are very like, I have to go to work in the morning, like yes. stuff like that. And whereas Spencer is like, we can play another board game, I know it's 2 in the morning, but we can do it. Like,
yeah. Well, and what I love about this game, another thing I love about this game, is it's so simple mechanically. You're trying to manipulate different your different traits, your aspects of your traits. So you're trying to reach the goal. So you can do that by answering questions in a certain way. You're trying to increase your satisfaction and your partner's satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
But really, the way you do that is just by playing cards and answering questions.
Mm-hmm.
Informed by your characteristics of your character.
Exactly.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And it's so simple. And I think that this is a perfect game to play with a non-gaming spouse. Because you said this, and we both agree, that it doesn't feel like a board game.
Mm-hmm. For more thoughts on that, because we do expound upon our thoughts on that, be sure to check out our review on the Dice Towers YouTube channel. And that's for Fog of Love from Hush Hush Projects.
Next, another review that we have, and speaking of movies, this is unintentionally kind of like a movie-themed
I guess
games.
So.
We talked about romantic comedies, let's talk about adventure movies on the planet.
A specific title.
On the Planet of the Apes.
Mm-hmm.
So this is brand new from IDW Games,
mm-hmm.
from designer Richard Launius.
Yes.
You may recognize him as one of the designers of Arkham Horror, Elder Sign, some other game, Defenders of the Realm, those kinds of games. Mm-hmm. And so in this game, you're essentially playing through the plot of that first, the 1970s Planet of the Apes movie.
There was a comment correcting us on our review that it was the first film came out in the 60s.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, but it's the first film starring Charlton Heston that, I mean, it's pretty iconic.
Yes. And so, but the interesting thing is, it's 1 to 4 players, and everybody plays as the different mental traits of Taylor.
Right. And yeah, so that's Charlton Heston's character, for those who don't know. Different things like...
I don't remember what they're called, but like different parts of his psyche, essentially. Like,
yeah.
Like the commander or...
Cynical Taylor, that mm-hmm. was one of mine.
Yeah.
Rebellious.
Yeah. And so like most cooperative games like this, they're going to have a special ability. The interesting thing is, if one player, you can only take up to 5 hits on each of those aspects. And if one player gets defeated, they still play, but from that point on, any damage they take has to go to the other character.
Yeah, gets dealt evenly among the other.
Yeah, because
you're
still the same person, you can still play.
But that aspect of that character... Yeah. Like, he's kind of suppressed it.
Yeah. So, almost like, and again, this is completely unintentional, almost like Fog of Love, you've got the different scenes set up, and inside each scene, you've got essentially different encounters that are going to happen that are from the movie.
Right, yeah, so you've got a deck mm-hmm. of cards, which, first off, the artwork is
it's
superb
great.
On this.
It's
from
really
IDW,
good.
Which, of course, they also have a branch of their corporation that does comic books. So, mm-hmm. of course, they got great artists on this.
Right.
They did brilliant work. And they, you go through the movie, basically, the plot line of the movie and the way that progresses. Mm-hmm. And there are some small scenes that it's just one card.
Mm-hmm.
Or there are the major scenes that they're about, there's a little deck that you have to deal out like 3 different things and you try to...
Encounters.
Yeah. And based on rewards from each of those, you can move your character up on a track. You're just trying to get your character to the 0. They determine where you start, mm-hmm. each of the cards do. You're trying to get the Taylor to the 0 before the ape or the Statue of Liberty figure. Mm-hmm. And that will end the scene. And then you'll progress on to the next scene.
Yeah, well, the Statue of Liberty figure doesn't reset for each scene. It's the one that goes the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one that will end the game.
If it reaches 0.
Yeah, the ape one will just end the scene.
Well, until you get to, like, the third the last scene, then once the ape reaches 0, you will too.
So at these encounters, that's the main way, like you were saying, is the way you're going to progress through the scenes. They're like, if you've played Elder Sign, it's very similar. Mm-hmm. It gives you the type of dice you're going to start with, and they're like different things you're trying to roll.
How many you can have.
Yeah.
How many times you can re-roll them.
Yeah. So you're trying to roll things like maybe 4 of a kind,
mm-hmm.
or a full house, or...
Or 5 dice with all matching,
mm-hmm.
but they have to be higher than a 3
yeah.
or something
or
like that.
Or a straight or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different colors of dice. You can't use some colors on some encounters, so you've got to be careful about that.
You also have a little hand of cards. A little hand of little cards.
Yeah.
that are allies that can give you a free reroll or add another die.
Yeah.
Different things like that that are very helpful as well.
Yeah. And so the game is difficult. It really is. We've played it solo. We've played it 2-player. At both of those player counts, it feels nearly impossible. It's really important if you want a fighting chance to play 4-player. I'm not saying it's impossible, but if you're playing 2-player or 3-player, you definitely want 1 or 2 people controlling. You want all 4 of those aspects of Taylor in there to be
mm-hmm.
able to utilize all those special abilities.
I agree with that.
I do enjoy the solo mode. It's fun, but again, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
The game itself is fun too. We like the mechanisms of it. We like how everything works.
It is, and we've played it, like you said, basically at all of the player counts, mm-hmm. but even in just those handful of plays, the game is already growing stale to us.
Because you're playing through the plot of Planet of the Apes over and over and over again.
Yes.
So the flavor text of the events that are unfolding, it's the same thing. So it's like watching the movie every time you play.
And there's not as many cards as something like Elder Sign, where you're going to go to those places and do those encounters and whatnot. But there's a lot more cards in those games, whereas because this is the Planet of the Apes, you are limiting your subject matter.
Yeah.
That, I mean, they can't add to that.
Right.
And so I think that's just a kind of a downfall for it.
I think they've planned games for the other movies, so I don't know if they have any plans as far as them. That'd be really cool to have like a mixed movie.
Kind of do like the Harry Potter Hogwarts battle that they just, you just added the books together.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Mm-hmm. But as far as like who this is for, I definitely think fans of the movie will like this. If you're a fan of the franchise, you like Planet of the Apes, you'll enjoy this one. And if you don't really care so much about theme and replaying plot points over and over again, but you like the mechanisms of that style of game, then go for it.
Yes.
But as far as like we really like immersive games, and this would just be, like we said, get repetitive.
It just got stale. Yeah.
So, that is Planet of the Apes from IDW. Laura, do you know what's sadder than Charlton Heston finding out at the end of the movie that he's been on Earth all along?
No.
The fact that he didn't try your latest game night grub recipe.
Oh. All right, so this episode's recipe is from willcookforsmiles.com, and it is chicken parmesan dip.
Yum.
Yum. Love all of that. And it's got all sorts of horrible for you goodness in it.
Like what?
Like, in the first three ingredients on the list are cream cheese, mayo, and sour cream.
Gross.
You ate it, honey.
I did.
And it wasn't that bad. I won't go through everything on this recipe. Just want to give a brief summation of it.
Yeah, what is it?
So it's those things with some garlic, parmesan cheese, some chicken, mm-hmm. all mixed up together. And then you spread like a marinara sauce on top of it and mm-hmm. bake it in the oven. And you also toast up some bread. Like at Walmart, they've got just like for $1, the French loaf, mm-hmm. but it's already sliced really thin. Yeah. And I like to get that. It's just so much easier. Lay out several slices on a cookie sheet and toast them in the oven and they're ready to go. And so I really liked everything about it. The only thing was I even added extra marinara sauce that the recipe doesn't call for, and it still didn't feel like there was enough.
Yeah, so I liked the taste of everything, and it was good, but I think for me, I would like to have seen the ratio between like the creamy stuff that I don't like and the
tomato sauce
be a little bit different. I'd like less of the creamy stuff, more of the tomato sauce.
I think I would like a mixed together.
Oh, that could be a possibility.
Instead of layering.
Yeah, maybe that would help.
I'm wondering if that would help, because that would make it actually a little similar to the crock pot pizza dip.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not a horrible recipe.
No, it's good.
If
you like that idea of chicken parmesan that you can dip your bread into.
Who doesn't? Okay, you just said some things that sound amazing.
Except for mayo. And cream cheese.
But it's...
No, and sour cream.
Oh, well, you ate it and you liked it, so... There you go. But so for like a game night, I think it works great because it yields a large batch.
Yeah.
And you can always have plenty of bread for it. I could even see, I mean, if you do have leftovers for this, you could probably put this on top of some pasta.
Mmm.
We've done that with pizza dip before too.
Yeah.
I don't see any problem with taking it to the table if it's on you're going to have it's on a plate or maybe possibly even in a ramekin with some bread on a plate. It's thick enough that it's not going to drip.
Keep a napkin nearby.
Yeah, you'll get some breadcrumbs probably, but I mean, I think you can take care of that. Mm-hmm. Or just easy enough, just keep it in the kitchen, and as people want some, they can go in there and eat and then come back. But this is a pretty good one.
Yep.
And that's chicken parmesan dip.
All right, next up is the latest installment of board game trailers. But before we get to that, I want to talk about our sponsor for this podcast, Unbox Boredom. Now, we mentioned at the beginning of the show, Unbox Boredom is a subscription board game service that delivers brand new board games directly to your door to keep
And what I really like about Unbox Boredom is, unlike other subscription services, Unbox Boredom can really be enjoyed by any type of gamers. They have a wide variety of game options, from strategy, family, and even party games. Additionally, you can select how often you want to receive games, monthly, bi-monthly, or quarterly.
And with the holidays around the corner, this is an excellent gift idea for gamers like us. You can give it to a friend, family, or even yourself. How about that? And people are always asking us about new games we play and how do we find out about them. Unbox Boredom finds new great games for you. You can select between 3 featured games each month to choose from, or just trust the experts and be surprised when it arrives at your door.
And as a special promotion for MBG listeners, you can use the coupon code MARRIED at checkout for $10 off any new subscription. Sign up today at unboxboredom.com. That's unbox, BOARDOM.com.
Daddy is overworked.
If you don't get those reports filed by tomorrow, you're fired.
Daddy is tired.
If I could just get some flippin' rest, my life would be so much better.
Honey, let's go on a vacation. We could find a nice quiet resort, take the kids, and you could have a break from your job.
But my job...
Can wait. Let's go. I hear the Overwatch Motel is nice this time of year.
A relaxing vacation is just what they need. But will it be what they get?
Hi, we're here to check in.
I don't suppose they told you anything about the tragedy we had in the winter of 1990.
I don't believe they did.
My predecessor in this job left a man named Charles Grady as the winter caretaker, and he came up here with his wife and 2 kids. I think they were 8 and 10. He seemed like a completely normal individual, but at some point during the winter, he must have suffered some kind of a complete mental breakdown. He ran amok and killed his family with an axe.
Oh my. You don't see that on the TripAdvisor reviews.
Enjoy your stay.
Thank you. Oh, we're on the 2nd floor. How lovely. Let's take the stairs. Oh, honey, are you okay? You don't look so good.
A momentary loss of muscle coordination. A few extra foot-pounds of energy per second, what with the bags and all.
Kids, let's leave Daddy in the room alone so he can get some rest. Go play, and remember, don't wake Daddy.
Yes, Mommy!
But rules were made to be broken.
Hey, I left my favorite toy in the room. Let's go get it.
We might wake Daddy. Don't do it.
I'll be quiet.
Ah, you woke me.
I'm sorry, Daddy. I just wanted my toy.
You want a toy? How about you play with this axe I found under the bed? Want to play with it? I'll play with you. All work and no play makes Daddy a dull boy.
What is all of this? You did this to him, didn't you? How could you? How could you?
I'm sorry. I don't know what came over me. I think I need to go back to sleep, but don't wake Daddy.
This winter, find out what happens if you ignore the warnings.
We left the plate of cookies in the room and I'm really hungry. Let's sneak in to get it.
Be careful not to bump the old-fashioned alarm clock.
Here's Daddy!
Don't wake Daddy.
What'd you think?
I'm quite proud of this. I've been sitting on this idea for a long time.
You have.
And Spencer kept going, I don't know. I think we could come up with something different. Well, I won't say that he said better, but he might have said better.
What I meant was, who plays Don't Wake Daddy anymore? I'm just thinking, oh, let's get a hot game that people are always playing. But this worked.
Who plays Hungry Hungry Hippos anymore, sir?
Well, that was just the brainchild. We had to start somewhere.
I could punch you right now, but there's a microphone between us. No, I don't do that to my husband. I don't beat him. But I'm really glad with how this turned out. I liked, because I had a different concept. I mean, not a totally different concept, but you're the one that took it and married it to the idea of The Shining. Mm-hmm. So,
well, you gave me the idea because you said, here's Daddy.
Yeah.
And I kind of took that around with it.
Yeah, you took it more so. Yeah. I had always just said, like, we need somebody who can do a Jack Nicholson impersonation and say, "Here's Daddy." And he did it. And
which we did. So we want to thank
our friend Justin Partridge.
We've mentioned him on the show before. He's the one that's taken us through our Call of Cthulhu RPG campaign, which is so awesome. And once we finish with that, we're going to have him on the show to talk about it.
Yes.
So he played the Jack Nicholson character. We want to thank
Daddy.
Yeah, Daddy. We want to thank Lynn Marshall, who does the voice announcer every time. And then our friend Chris Yee from the Meeple Overboard podcast played the angry boss at the beginning of the... he did a great job with that.
Yeah, thanks, you guys.
So thanks for your contributions, people. Hope everybody enjoyed it.
So we've sadly, got another one coming up at 35.
Yeah, sadly, it's not actually going to be a movie.
Or is it? They're making a Catan movie, supposedly. Hey,
you never know.
You never know.
Okay, it would be a wonderful gift for me, though.
Oh, you know what?
What?
I think we should talk about some top gift ideas that might actually be better.
That was a really
than
bad
that movie.
Really bad transition. Let's keep it, though.
Okay. All right. So, like we've been teasing, we are going to talk about our gift guide.
So we actually have a full, in-depth gift guide that's got our explanations on these and other games we're not going to mention here on the show, just for brevity's sake. Mm-hmm. But we will give you the link to that after this, and you can go check out our other suggestions as well. Final antecedent to this segment, the online version does have some Amazon affiliate links. So if you do go and buy one of these gifts for one of your friends or family member or whatever, we get a little bit of what the proceeds are from Amazon.
To come back and help support the podcast.
Yeah, help us maybe get some new equipment, sound better, whatever.
We always need to sound better.
Yeah, so having said all that, let's get into this. So let's start with, where do you want to start?
Well, let's go ahead and start with A, and that's kids.
Okay, so Laura, what is your pick for a game for kids that you recommend?
Well, I really like this game that we picked up that's from ELO, and it's called Monster Chase.
Yeah.
And it's a great take on the memory match idea, but I just love the concept and the theming of it, because obviously it's called Monster Chase, and so you're little kids going to bed at night, and there are monsters coming out of the closet. But they're scared of toys. They're scared of some of the toys that you have. They're not scary toys. They're just, they're scared of cute things. And so you have these cards that you lay out that'll tell you what toy corresponds to scare away this monster. And you have to find them in the memory part.
So kind of like a traditional memory match game.
Yeah, like the grid is laying out face down of the toys, but you don't know which one's which unless you memorize it. And you'll flip it over and you'll scare away a monster. Or if you don't scare away on three chances, like three people going, if you don't scare it away, this little track flips over and that means a new monster appears.
Yeah.
And so you can have as many as four monsters out there trying to scare you. But then when you... when you do achieve that and you scare it, they've got this great little insert on the box that looks like a wardrobe, closet doors, and you can open the little flaps, the doors, and put the monster in there. And our four-year-old loves to say, "Go away, monster," when she does that. But I really like that concept of making it unique, and you're actually doing something with your memory match instead of
exactly.
just, let's match these things.
There's a game on top of it, so that's a good selection.
Thanks.
Mine is one from Haba Games, which is, they make all kinds of great kids
they
games.
They make awesome kids games.
Not only awesome games, but games with awesome components, these wooden chunky bits that kids love to play with. Mine is called Rabbit Rally, and the way this one works is your little rabbits trying to cross a body of water to get to their side to the golden carrot. And inside the water are little wooden stones, and there's a pile of wooden planks. And what you have to do is, it's like a spatial thing, where the kid has to select which plank they think will reach from this particular stone to the next. Mm. And if they put it down and it doesn't reach, well, they don't get to cross.
Oh.
Yeah, but the next person come along and put it down. And then people behind that person that may have gotten it right can use the one that they put down to cross. So it's neat. I mean, there's not a board, so you're using these wooden pieces and you're kind of creating this new space every time you play.
That's neat.
And there's some neat, like I said, wooden pieces, your cute little rabbit meeples, and that's just a different take on like a roll and move style game. You know, there's not, it's not a different take on it. There's no rolling. So if you want, if you're bored with that, something like Candyland, this would be a great option. Mm-hmm. And so that is Rabbit Rally from Hobbit Games. All right, so those are our kids' games. Let's go on to the next step from kids would be family games.
All right, on to the families portion of our list. One of the games that I want to talk about from this is Seven Wonders. Some people would say it's an oldie but a goodie. It just celebrated its 7th anniversary. And this is a... I like it better than Duel because of the drafting mechanism. And I think that this would be a great way in a family to teach that mechanism of drafting. But also, you can kind of... it can be a little bit of a history lesson, which I'm a fan of history. And I can't believe... we had never played it before. Our friend Joe from Art of Board Gaming taught it to us. And I really, really liked this game. I fell in love with this game. And I wasn't expecting it to be such a rich gameplay experience, but it really was. But it's not difficult to learn, not overwhelming in the mechanics and whatnot. And so that's why I think it'd be a good family game. And that's Seven Wonders from Repost Productions.
My pick for family games is Celestia. We have actual proof that this is a great family game. You know, people like that idea of pressing their luck. You know, do I stay in the boat or do I get out? You know, if I stay in the boat, I could get more treasure, but I might fall out and lose everything. It might crash. It's real neat. There's a collaborative element to it where, you know, you want the captain to succeed because you want to get the treasure. But at the same time, if you get out of the boat, you want it to crash because mm-hmm. you don't want anybody else to get the treasure. It's got great components, fun artwork, portable. I think it plays up to 6 players, so mm-hmm. it can do good family size. Lots of fun times with Celestia, and so that is why it's on the list.
All right, so then let's move on to couples.
Yes.
We already talked about a great couples game at the top of the show, and that would be Fog of Love.
Which we have on this list.
Yes. Another one that actually pulled out recently and taught to some guys, and they really liked it. It's called Raptor. And it's an asymmetrical game where either one person is playing scientists who are trying to capture these raptors to do research on them, or the other player is the mama raptor trying to protect her baby raptors, and you want them to get off the board, or eat all of the scientists, or the scientists just want to put all of them to sleep, all the baby raptors to sleep. Yeah, it's quite fun, and I was surprised at how quickly that game moved, but it can move fast, or you could really get in a kind of a gridlock, I bet. Mm-hmm. But it's a very interesting game, and it goes pretty quick, so that we always are like, okay, and now let's switch roles and let's play again.
Yeah.
But it's a fun one, and that's Raptor, and that's from Matigo Games.
My pick for couples for this list is Codenames Duet. This is, we love Codenames, we love the original Codenames, but the idea is, you know, Lara and I love playing cooperatively, and any game that allows us to do that, we're definitely interested in it. And so this one, if you take that Codenames, instead of having a team versus team, you're both working together to try to get each other to guess these names, and I really like that. It's a great exercise in teamwork, in your vocabulary, of course, trying mm-hmm. to come up with the clues of the words to give, and creative thinking, so not only your vocabulary, but, you know, how can you actually make these words all come together?
Well, and being intuitive and thinking about how your partner would think.
Yeah, totally. So for me, my pick is Codenames Duet.
All right, let's move on to solo. Would you like to kick this one off?
Sure, I would. My pick for solo games. So, you know, not everybody always has the time to play with somebody else, has an opportunity. Or maybe Lara doesn't want to play or whatever. It doesn't matter. You can still play by yourself and have a fun time. And so for me, I pick Friday. This for me is like the quintessential solo game. You play as Friday, trying to help Robinson Crusoe survive the hardships of the island that you're on. I really like this one because it's got this real unique, at least for me, the first time I played it, I was like, that's a really unique take on deck building. So basically, you deal with these hazards, but those hazards will go back into your deck, and you use the opposite end of these cards to help you fight future hazards. It's got a really neat idea to it. I like the way it works, and it's definitely challenging. Haven't been able to beat it yet, and I want to try again, but I love it, and that's Friday.
All right, then my selection is Onirim from Z-Man. And I've actually only played the app version of this, which, I mean, it was an easy way to learn the game on my own. And it's a quick play. It can be very, very frustrating.
Yes.
Basically, you're a dream walker and you're trying to get out of these doors, but then there are these bad dreams who are going to come and take your keys away so that you can't open the doors.
Yep.
That's pretty much it.
It's scary. You've got
these different colors of cards that you set up patterns to unlock the door, or you can use a key. And then the nightmares come up out of nowhere. And, oh, man, that can be very frustrating. Or sometimes you can go, ha-ha, nightmares, take that. I'm still going to win. And that's super satisfying. So either way, you could come out of that. You might have some strong feelings in this game. And that's Onirim.
All right, next, let's go into college age. You might have somebody on your list that's in the college age, not necessarily in college.
What do you know?
But yeah, and
college isn't for everyone.
That's right. So you're like, what the heck do I get this person? Well, duh, get them a board game.
Yeah.
But let's.
You're gonna be socializing, yeah, and whatnot. And I mean, who wants to sit around with a movie playing in the background? Because there's gonna be some curmudgeon who's gonna be over there going, "Everybody, be quiet! I'm trying to watch this movie." But then, like, it's a social gathering, so you should all be hanging out and talking. You can do that with board games.
You can. And the board game I chose for this one is Deception, Murder in Hong Kong. This is great. I think it's a great subject matter for college-age kids. They're always into those shows about murder and whatever, mysteries and that kind of thing. So in the game, you know, one player is a hidden murderer, and they choose a weapon and a means of murder. And then the investigator sees this, but nobody else does. And so the investigator is trying to give clues for the rest of the players to guess
what the evidence is. I think it's the forensic scientist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so they're giving clues, and it's a great, great, and it goes up to 12 players. Like, yes, you can do lots of large group.
And there are so many cards.
So many cards.
For those means of murder and whatnot.
Yeah, it's a fun time. You got people shouting, trying to figure out, what could this person possibly trying to tell us?
Yeah.
And then you've got the murderer trying to throw everybody off.
Yes.
It's a good time, so really, really recommend Deception, Murder in Hong Kong.
Well, then my recommendation is going to be Telestrations. This is a much more lightweight, happy game. It's basically kind of a game of telephone. You've got these great little flip books that are dry erase. And depending on the player count, you start out either writing a word or writing and drawing a picture of the word. And then you pass your book to the player next to you. And they either have to read your word and draw a picture of it, or look at the picture you wrote or the picture you drew and try to figure out what the word is. And you can't use, like, letters, numbers, or symbols. It has to be totally with a picture. And some not everybody's an artist.
Yeah. That's the best part.
That's the best part, honestly. Like, we've never kept score in this game. There is a score keeping mechanism. Who cares? We just like to have fun and laugh at all of the results at the end. Because when your book gets back to you, you get to flip through and see, how did this go? And it might end terribly, but it's also hilarious. So we enjoy this game a lot, and it works well with large groups, and that's Telestrations.
Now, sometimes those college-age students might like video games, but lots of people like video games, don't they?
Yeah.
So, there are games that we would recommend for people that love video games. So, if you know somebody that plays a lot of video games, you're like, well, I wish they would stop staring at the screen so long. Let's get them a board game. Well, glad you said that, because we've got some recommendations. Why don't you go first?
Okay, well, one that we just recently acquired, and I'm just so happy that we have it. The problem is I get so excited when we play it, and I get loud, and I'm afraid to play it while the girls are asleep. It's Flip Ships from Renegade Games. This is basically like Space Invaders analog.
Mm-hmm.
There's a mothership, and then these alien ships that are moving closer and closer to the surface of Earth, and you've got your little fighter jets, and you're flicking them out of the Earth's atmosphere, trying to land them on those alien ships to destroy those ships before they get to Earth. And it's nuts and fun, and you can collect more ships as you go, and they have different abilities that are very helpful. And there's even a competitive mode of just trying to flick your ships into the mothership, and whoever gets all of them in first wins. There are different variants with it. I think that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And that is Flip Ships from Renegade Games.
When I played video games religiously, I played a lot of first-person shooters. Actually, I didn't play a lot.
That's like all you played, right?
I played Halo. And this Czech Games Edition actually made a game that feels just like Halo, if it was a board game. And that's Adrenaline. So it's basically you were a character running around an arena trying to shoot your opponent. And they've got different types of weapons, whether it's a melee weapon or a gun or whatever, rocket launcher, you can pick up.
Isn't there a grenade or something too?
Yeah, and so if you know somebody that likes those style, like whether it's Call of Duty or Halo, or, you know, what are the popular ones these days? I don't even know anymore. But if you know somebody likes those style of games, this is a perfect option because it gives you that same feeling, but in the board game on the tabletop. Mm-hmm. It's a blast. And
that's so much fun.
And that is Adrenaline.
All right, let's start wrapping this up, and we're going to do that.
Wrapping it up?
Oh, that was a good one.
Yes.
We're going to do that with our stocking stuffer category.
Okay.
Oh, you sound like you're ready. I'm ready. Go for it?
Yes.
Okay.
I recommend Love Letter. Now, the reason why I recommend this one is, first of all, it's so small. It's only like, you know, under maybe 20 cards. I don't know for sure. It comes in this little pouch, depending on the version that you get. And it would easily fit in a stocking. And it's so portable. And another reason why I suggest it is because there's so many different versions for every different kind of person that you know.
Lots of different themes.
So you've got the original Love Letter, which is like princesses and knights and that kind of thing. But you've got Batman Love Letter, which is one of our favorite versions. You've got Archer, which I've never seen that show. You've got Munchkin Loot Letter. You've got Adventure Time Love Letter. The Hobbit Love Letter. And, of course, the aptly named Letters to Santa.
Wow!
Which is nice for this time of year. They all essentially play the same way. And they all are fun. You play a game with four people. Under 30 minutes, take it anywhere, put in the stocking, lots of fun. That's Love Letter.
All right, then, mine, stocking stuffer that actually fits a lot of different categories of game than all stocks, stuffs in a stocking, and it's The Grizzled.
Mm-hmm.
I've played it solo. Could go in the solo variants. We know of people who play it as a family. It can go in Family Gamers.
Put it as a couple.
We've played it as a couple. All sorts of fun stuff like that. The Grizzled, it does come in a little bit of a small box. The thing is, we highly suggest that you play it with the expansion at your orders. And the box is the same size, but two of those boxes probably wouldn't fit in a stocking.
If you had a really big stocking.
Maybe if you had a really big stocking. Which I've seen those too.
Yeah.
But I really like this game. So it's just a simple, simple game, but as far as mechanics go, that is, man, trying to play it without that expansion, I just hope you're not sore losers. We'll just say that.
Well,
but it's a cooperative game.
Yeah, and what's it about?
You were in the trenches in World War One.
Yeah.
Trying to survive all these different threats. If there's ever, everybody has a handful of different kinds of threats, different weather or external threats from the enemy, as far as like mortar shells, mustard gas, different things like that. And once there are three identical threats out on no man's land, then your mission ends, and that gets you closer and closer to that death memorial instead of the armistice. And so it's a push or let game too. And as far as like, can I put this card down? Can I trust anybody else, you know, to not mess this up for us? That's an interesting game, and that's The Grizzled from Cool Mini or Not.
Awesome. I love all these games, which is why we put them on the list.
What do you know?
Now, we have, again, we've got, ideally, the idea was to do four in every category, so we've got at least two in pretty much all these categories, two more that we haven't talked about. You can go see those on our website. We've made a nice, convenient link to get there. It's just marriedwithbg.com/holiday2017.
Right.
Because we'll do one next year, and it'll be a different year.
Oh, you are so smart.
So go check those out. Maybe get one. Help us out a little bit with the show. That about does it for this segment, right, Laura?
Yes, it does.
Okay, now that we're done with that, we've got just one big announcement, and then we'll close the show out.
Right, so as of the release of this recording is the week of BGGCon.
And we are there.
Yeah!
So probably, if you're not listening to this right when this opens, or right when this releases, this doesn't matter to you.
Right.
But if you're listening, and you are at BGGCon, we'd love to see you.
We will be volunteering at the Bezier booth.
We will be there on Thursday from 10 to 2, Friday from 2 to 6, and on Saturday from 10 to 2.
Right. Come by, see us. Come check out some of their cool games.
Yep. And come find us. Come play a game with us. We'd love to see you. And also, we're going to kind of keep track of our experience there. We're going to talk about it on the next episode of the Meredith Board Games Podcast.
Right. So be sure to tune in to episode 31 for our BGGCon recap.
Yes. And speaking of recaps, let's recap how people can get in touch with us.
They can follow us on Instagram at MarriedWithBG. Twitter is at MarriedWithBG. Facebook.com/MarriedWithBG. And of course, you can find links to all of our social media accounts on our website, MarriedWithBG.com, where you will also find that complete 2017 gift guide.
Yay! Finally, if you want other people to be able to find us easily, number one of the things you can do is tell them about us.
Please?
If you like our show and you think someone else, maybe another couple, or maybe somebody else that, again, we're not exclusively talking about games for couples. So if you think someone else would like the show, tell them about us.
Or maybe if they're just new to gaming and want to learn more.
Yeah. Also, if you leave a review on iTunes, it helps other people find us.
Yeah.
Like Air Hockey. That's the guy's name, Air Hockey. He titles his review, Married, Game, Listen. And so he says, the ads don't bother me. I come from listening to sports radio, which is ads every 15 minutes, basically. But it's free, amazing entertainment. Everything in life can't be free. True dat.
That was Spencer adding in the true dat, by the way.
This podcast is amazing and has really helped me get my wife into the hobby besides just Catan. Love it and love you guys.
Aw, thanks, Air Hockey.
Yes, thank you so much. We appreciate the time you took to craft this review. Thank you for listening. Glad that we could help get your wife playing some more games other than Catan.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully you two can be working in the kitchen together on some yummy game night grub as well. And it'll just make a complete date night for you two.
Sounds lovely.
It does, doesn't it?
Let's go do it right now.
Okay, let's go craft up some game night grub.
Okay, well, if we're going to do that, we better close out the show.
Oh, yeah, we better not leave you guys hanging.
This has been episode 30 of the Married with Board Games podcast. I'm Spencer.
I'm Laura.
Thank you so much for listening. We would like to thank IDW Games and Hush Hush Projects for sending us review copies of their games to review and discuss on the show.